Hey guys, my name is John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Today we have a very special semi-traditional, semi-non-traditional story slash interview. It is my interview with Lydia Bendel, and she is the younger sister of Esther Bendel, who was on my first season, and both of them are really, really dear friends of mine. This was recorded in my sister's bedroom over Christmas break when she came and spent a week with us and my family to visit and things like that. So Esther and Lydia were MKs in Australia and Argentina. And this, I'm kind of titling it Interview with an MK because we just kind of go over her entire life story, how she felt, and you'll kind of sense some conflicting issues with our views of home based on how we were raised. So I'm going to talk more about that at the end. But without further ado, here is Lydia Bendel's TCK tale.
I'm Lydia Bendel. I'm 21. I'm an MK from Australia and Argentina. I was born in Australia, and I lived there until I was about six. I don't really remember much from that time, just a few memories. Then we moved to Argentina, and I really liked it there. I started to adjust to like the culture, and I learned the language, but right when I was starting to get to the point where I like knew the language and stuff, we moved to America for the first time, to Pennsylvania. And I didn't really enjoy that so much because the area we were living in, Pennsylvania, was a very, like, I don't know. I feel like it was a very spiritually depressed place. Like, just there was a lot of witchcraft going around in that area. Like, just our neighbors were, like, into weird stuff. Just the area was very, I don't know, very spiritually dark. It was a small town. It was like 40 minutes from like Scranton, which was the big city. Office! The office! Yeah, so I didn't really enjoy that. But then we moved back to Argentina when I was 12. And I love Argentina. And so I started, you know, picking up the language again, and I made friends, and I was really settling in there. And then we moved, because of finances, back to America.
Let's talk about Australia.
Okay.
What comes to your mind when you think about Australia?
Not much. I mean, I don't really remember much about it. More just, I think I remember it more of a place my parents loved. Like, they talk about Australia, and they talk about how good it was there, and how happy we were as a family. But I don't really remember that. It wasn't really.
Do your siblings talk about it?
My older siblings, yeah. Esther and I don't really remember much. But yeah, like Hannah, kind of Sarah, and David really enjoyed it there. Yeah.
Because there are five of you guys, right?
There's seven.
Seven. Well, five kids.
No, there's seven kids.
Seven kids, okay. Those were the oldest three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then there's four.
Yeah.
Two older than you and Esther.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Argentina. The first time. So first off, do you remember anything about the transition from Australia to Argentina?
Yeah, it was really difficult because I'd been used to being homeschooled. And then there was a point where my parents were like, we need to get them more, you know, learning the language and stuff. And so they just put us in school. And I didn't know the language. And so I was attending school, which I'd never done before, learning the language. And so it was just a very tough experience because the kids weren't very accepting because I couldn't communicate with them. So I think I attended school for about 6 months, maybe a year. I mean, it did help me learn language, but it was a little bit rough.
How long have you been living in Argentina before you jumped into school?
It was just a few months.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Shortly after you moved?
Yeah, okay. Shortly.
What was your parents' ministry?
It was evangelization. My dad worked closely with the pastors in the area, so he would go from, you know, church to church preaching. He did some ministry, which was like connected with our mission. He like gave motorcycles to the pastors because they didn't have any mode of transportation so that they could get around. I think it was mostly just evangelization, preaching, helping the pastors grow their churches, which went witnessing basically.
Okay, so why did they move back to the U.S.?
They moved from Argentina back to the U.S. because they hadn't been doing any, I don't think they'd done a furlough for probably like 5 years or something until all their supporters were, either they ran out of money or they were, you know, they're old and so they were dead. So their support was going down. So they couldn't, because at that time we owned a house in Pennsylvania and we were trying to support ourselves in Argentina. And the house wasn't selling because the, you know, the economy and everything. So they couldn't stay in Argentina because they didn't have enough money. So we moved back to Pennsylvania.
So why did they move to Argentina?
They just, we all really hated Pennsylvania.
No, the first time.
The first time?
Yeah.
Oh, so the first time from Australia, my parents were watching TV and they saw the situation in Argentina when there was like the government stole people's money or something. I don't remember exactly the situation, but they saw the people saying, like, help, is nobody gonna come help us? Like, so they really felt the draw in their hearts to move. And then the president of the mission came to them. He was like, we want to send you someplace. So you can pick this place or you can pick Argentina. And so they picked Argentina. Yeah, so that's where they moved.
So they're in Argentina. They're in Argentina because that's where God very clearly sent them. Mm-hmm. And then they lose supporters.
Yeah.
So they all die. Or yeah. Stop giving. So you guys move back to the U.S. and then you're living at, I'm assuming, the house that mm-hmm. you guys owned, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So then you move back to Argentina, then you move to Pennsylvania again, or you move to Florida from?
Florida from Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you moved from Australia to Argentina, Argentina to Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania to Argentina, Argentina back to Pennsylvania.
And then to Florida.
And then to Florida. Yeah. Why'd you guys move to Florida?
Because our mission agency wanted my parents to be closely involved in the office, recruiting. So we moved literally like a block from our missions agency so that they could work in the office.
So now they work in the home office.
They did. They don't anymore.
What do they do now?
They're just taking team trips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Okay.
All right. So that's a bit of your background. Now, the theme you want to talk about is home.
Mm-hmm.
So what does home look like?
I think it's come to mean just people. I don't really associate it with any place. So I think it's just like the people I'm closest to that could mean friends. It's just whoever I'm closest to that's kind of more home for me.
So that's interesting. Because I understand that concept that, you know, home is the people you're closest to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like home needs to be, if home is people, but it needs to be locked to specific people, because that's still a very transient mm-hmm. view of home.
Yeah.
So how has that worked with moving a ton then?
What do you mean?
If home is the people you're closest to, are you still close to people from Florida?
Yeah, a couple people. But my closest friend, the majority of our friendship, we weren't living in the same places.
Mm-hmm.
So I met her in Pennsylvania, and then I moved. And then she moved to Florida, and then we were close, but then I moved. So, I mean, yeah, I think probably like her and, you know, Esther are probably the two closest people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Through a lot of transitions in your life. So the transition from Australia to Argentina was rough. The transition to Pennsylvania the first time was rough because witchcraft, which is very interesting. How was the transition back to Argentina?
It was good. I think we were all just very happy to be back and out of Pennsylvania. And it was nice because we already had connections from the previous time.
You went back to the same city?
No, I mean, for a little bit, but no, we moved to a different location. But we'd already grown, like, a network of like pastors and stuff that we knew. Yeah, but it was nice because I already had the foundation of the language in my mind, and so it wasn't hard to pick it up again and learn more fluently. So it was easier to connect with people.
And how was the transition back to the U.S. the second time?
I really started to enjoy Argentina and settle in, and so I think it was rough moving back because I didn't want to leave. And then because I moved so much, it was really hard for me to make friends and keep friends. So I kind of felt, I don't know, isolated.
Which is important because friends are home.
Yeah, exactly.
So what does that look like within all your transitions? Have you gotten, what has making friends looked like as you've gone through many transitions? And has it changed as you've grown up? And what does it look like now?
Well, it was interesting because I was never really the one to like initially make friends with people. It's actually Esther. Because Esther's like the friend maker. So I didn't really learn how to make friends of my own until she moved away to college. And then I kind of really had to. I was just alone. Like I had to force myself to, I don't know, to be social and make friends. I don't know.
So how's your transition to Moody?
Good. I really like Moody. It's been good. It's been rough. I think my main friends are like internationals or MKs, and they have just as many issues as I do. So we both have like issues, and so it's kind of been hard to like reconcile and figure out relationships and friendships.
You could go back, or if you could tell your parents. So this is the question that I give every person that I have on the show. It's just like a way to get their story started. But specifically on this concept of transition and home and transient lifestyle, all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. You go back and tell your parents something about anything about your TCK experience, what would you tell them and why?
I think I would tell them to just like listen and then say, I hear you and like, I'm sorry that you're going through this. Instead of more of when I would go to them and say, I don't feel like I have friends. Like, I don't feel like I have a home. Their response was, you don't need a home because we're doing mission work and your siblings are your friends. And so I think I wish that they wouldn't have said that and to say, I'm sorry, I can't change it. But, like, I'm here for you, and, like, we can talk about it kind of thing. Yeah.
What would you go back and tell yourself?
That it'll be okay, that you'll make friends. Like, it's not going to be forever. Yeah. That you'll learn how to adjust and, I don't know, move on, I guess.
What are some things your parents did well?
They really involved us in their ministry, which I really appreciate. It wasn't just a them and then you'll leave the kids at home. So, you know, we did like dramas together. We were involved in, you know, whatever construction work they were doing or, you know, on churches. Yeah. So they really involved us in the ministry and I really appreciate that.
How do you think that having a big family helped or hindered your experience or hurt your experience? Like you talked about...
I mean, I can't say either way. There was pros and cons.
Yeah. You talk about, like, it was lonely, and then you're like, I want friends, and your parents are like, your siblings are your friends, which is good.
But if I hadn't had them, then maybe they would have been like, yeah, you do need friends.
Oh, yes. And, like, do you think your family's closer because of the experience, or do you think this experience has pulled you? Because I've seen both in TCKs. Like, they either have, like, really, really close family bonds, or they like have no family bond.
I think we're really, really... I think it made us really, really close. And that's why it hurts so much that we're also spread apart. Mm. Like, we feel very disconnected from each other. And I think other siblings wouldn't really care. Mm. But we're like, man, we're so used to being so tight-knit because we spent all this time just us. And, like, we need each other. So I think it's more difficult that we're all apart.
Context that, do you have any real relationship to your extended family at all?
No. So it was just really us. Like my grandparents, they're all gone, but it didn't really affect me because I didn't really know them. So,
yeah. So, parents, siblings, do they have siblings?
Yeah, they have siblings, but we're not really close to any of them. My dad doesn't talk to any of his side of the family because they're all, they cut him off. Shelly just does.
That's another thing I've noticed in a lot of these interviews is, and in my own life as well, just your really, really strong immediate family connections. And, mm-hmm. like, you don't really have strong extended family connections, which is really sad. I guess on some level it would be considered the cost of discipleship or mm-hmm. the cost of missions. As you're talking about this, and as I've been going through this, if you listen to the season finale of season mm-hmm. two, for those of you guys out there who haven't listened to this yet, go listen to that. It's just me talking, but it's called An Ever-Growing Theology of Home. But I'm learning that there is, in my opinion, spiritual significance to roots mm-hmm. and to stability in a specific place. Like, I fully understand that mm-hmm. concept of home is people, and you know, home is where yeah. the heart is, and home is these, home is that, home is this, and I get that mm-hmm. and I wholeheartedly agree, but I think there's an even greater significance in home being locked to a specific place as mm-hmm. well. And like you see in the Bible, it talks about, like, there's a specific place. It's always about a land, about a place. Mm-hmm. And in mission field and in Christianity and in missions organizations, they always ever talk about how your home is not this earth, and your home is not mm-hmm. here, and your home is not a place. Yeah. And you should be like a foreigner because, and even when all those things in the Old Testament, but they say all those passages in the Old Testament where God has a land and it's very land-centric and very mm-hmm. like people-centric, and all of the patriarchs were nomads, but none of them were blessed until they got stability. Like, mm-hmm. Jacob wasn't blessed until he came back into the land. Abraham wasn't blessed until he came back to the mm-hmm. land. Isaac lost his blessing for yeah. a period of time when he left the land. That kind of thing. They say that's always a, you know, just a allegorical description of how we should be with heaven. And mm-hmm. right now on this earth, it's, I don't know. Do you, in your experience, because I talked to MKs about this, and they're hit and miss there. Does that resonate with you? Do you think that's true?
I mean, I can't really relate to it because I've never had a place that I feel like I could call home. So it's just a very abstract idea to me. Like, I don't understand the, I don't know. I just don't, maybe I will in the future. Maybe I'll have a place that God gives me that I'll call home. But I guess I've created my own definition of home just because I never had that. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know, it's just something I've been thinking about a lot as well. And just final question, if you had a choice to do it all over again mm-hmm. and to say have your parents just be boring Americans living in Orlando for their entire lives, would you take it?
No.
Why?
Because I wouldn't be who I am today. I probably wouldn't have the close relationships with my siblings. I wouldn't have the experiences. I mean, I wonder if my relationship with God would be as strong, you know?
Do you want to do missions?
Yes.
Why?
I feel like God's called me to it, but also, I feel at home on the mission field. If that makes sense, I guess I want to help other people, and I like exploring other cultures, and yeah, I really enjoy traveling and seeing what the world has to offer, I guess.
I think this episode specifically really highlights the change that I've had and the difference that I am from other traditional TCKs because of the fact that I have a home and I have a place to call home. And it was really interesting to talk with her and to share some of my ideas and for her to kind of be like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never experienced that. And this was a very good conversation for me and a very interesting conversation as well, just to kind of talk about home, what home looks like, how home can sound, what home can be like, and even how you can have good experiences and bad experiences based on where you are and with your family and all of that. We go into a lot of things. And yeah, it was just a really great, really honest interview with a fellow TCK who has a different life experience, but is living her life and doing what she can to really make things work. And I really appreciated that. And I really loved that. And it was just very open and honest and good. I hope you guys enjoyed that, especially after last week. That was very kind of heavy. And this week was heavy too, but in a different way. If you would like to share your story, please do not hesitate to do that. Simply just go to my website, tcktales.com, go to the Share Your Story page, and then check that out. It is a great way. Just answer those questions, and we'll start a dialogue going, and we'll set up a time to meet and record something. I would love to start hearing from you guys, and all of you guys have incredible stories to share, and it's not super scary, so I promise it's not super scary. Lydia was very scared, and it turned out great, so I'm a great person to talk to, and everything like that. If you'd like to get in touch with me at any point as well, you can email tcktales@gmail.com. You can go through the Share Your Stories link on tcktales.com, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/TCK Tales. Those are all great places to contact me and to let me know. We are, I can't believe it, we are at over 30 episodes now, which is insane. And I'm really excited. We're getting closer to 50, and I want to do something big for my 50th episode. So I'll be telling you guys more about that later. If you would, please like and subscribe to the podcast to get more new episodes, as well as leave a review. That's a wonderful way for other people to find out about the podcast and to share with it as well. And it's just really comforting for me to kind of hear stuff and how things are going in that regard. Also, if you like this podcast, please tell someone about it. I would love to just get into more ears and to hear more people and more people's feedback. And if you've loved this podcast, you can tell me. Tell me via Facebook. Tell me via email. Tell me via iTunes review or wherever you listen to podcasts. This podcast, it would be great. Please support my sponsors, and please consider supporting my ministry as well. This is kind of what I'm trying to do to minister to people that I know and just kind of explore this space a little bit. So if you feel like God is leading you to support me financially, you can do that. You can hit the button in the show description. I would just very much appreciate it. This is an extension of my ministry and kind of where I feel God is calling me as I kind of feel out what life looks like post-graduation. I'll probably show up with another kind of update on where life is in a couple of weeks, so be on the lookout for that. But until then, I will see you guys in 2 weeks with another TCK Tale. TCK Tales is brought to you in partnership with MK2MK. MK2MK is a fantastic ministry. They are an extension of Crew. They are specifically targeting missionary kids. So basically, they are missionary kids ministering to missionary kids, thus the name MK2MK. They have a ton of fantastic resources, as well as trips, summer internships, projects, retreats, all of that. So check them out at their website, mk2mk.com. There's a link in my website. Check them out. They are an amazing ministry that have had a profound effect in my life.